This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the Columbus, Ohio Blueberry Podcasting Studio. The lead stories are: a Senate bill would put a price on our data. DGI denies spying for China. Spam in your Google calendar. Huawei's CFO attorney asked for the United States to withdraw its extradition warrant. I want to welcome you to episode 1378 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, June 24th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You too can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. I want to give a warm welcome to all new listeners. I want to welcome them to visit geeknewscentral.com. When they're over there, get subscribed to the show. You're going to find a link right on the main page, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, whatever your media device choices are, there's a selection there for you to subscribe to the show. Make sure you do so. Also, you can subscribe to our email newsletter that contains everything that I talk about during the show. Email directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Definitely check that out. Of course, you can listen to the show on blueberry.com or listen on your smart home device by using the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or our Slack channel by emailing me, geeknews@gmail.com. for either a direct email in response to this podcast or to join the Slack channel or to give feedback, doesn't really matter. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News as well. And you can follow me on Facebook, just searching for my name, Todd Cochran. Partner shows, all linked at geeknewscentral.com, include GNC Week and Review, The Gadget Professor, The Pro Gear Site, The New Media Show, and Podcast Legends. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana Store. This show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and that's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. All my GoDaddy deals can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, whether it be a 30% off a new product purchase, a $4.99.com, a website builder program for those of you that are business owners are looking to basically relaunch or refresh or remodernize your website. Everything you need there to build a website. You don't even have to be a website design artist or expert. The GoDaddy website builder will help you through that entire process, and you get a 30-day free trial. Of course, you can go with regular hosting, whether it be economy hosting or a managed WordPress site. I like the managed WordPress site because that guarantees basically your site stays secure. You get a year of service for $12, and this includes a free domain name. So definitely check all those out at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All those deals are there. Share the deals with your friends, family members, people that you know. This helps the show out. It's like a like-kind donation. We definitely appreciate each and every one of you that continue to support GoDaddy and share my codes with your friends and family members. And your ongoing support is definitely needed. And of course, I want to again thank GoDaddy for being a continuous sponsor here at Geek News Central. Hey, everyone. I tell you, it's been, I'm sitting here in the Blueberry studio about 7:40 in the evening, and I am absolutely one whipped dog. as you would expect, it's been busy. As we talked about last talk, my container was to be delivered between 10 and 11 a.m. on Saturday. I was lucky as at the office earlier because the truck driver got there about 9 a.m. I got him backed into the spot. I opened the door, held my breath, and everything was, you could see a little shifting, but I knew immediately we were in really, really good shape. I proceeded to get some of the stuff in the very front of the truck, or front of the container, offloaded, and when my help showed up about an hour later, We went to town. Even one of my buddies that works for Raw Voice, Dave, came up from Indianapolis. I told him, Dave, you drove all the way up for an hour and a half's worth of work plus an hour lunch. But I appreciate him coming up from Indy. And, I mean, we emptied that bad boy quick. 2 hours. I mean, 2 hours tops. It was empty, swept up, sealed. If I knew it was going to take so little time, I'd have just had the trucker stay. I didn't think it was going to unload as fast as it did. But boy, oh boy, it came off there in a hurry. Had my mom's panel van parked right next to it. So I offloaded clothes and household goods into her van, and then everything else went into the studio. When the dust settled and I got back in the office by about 1, I just kind of methodically started unpacking. Now, call it fate, I had told the team to unload the trailer essentially from the start in the back and move to the front. I really didn't plan anything specifically, but it was like I had a guardian angel over my shoulder because it unpacked perfectly. Everything is just like box after box. I opened was the next box I needed. It and of course, I kind of loaded it methodical. So I guess, you know, it makes sense, but it's just the way the rooms were laid out. Everything was really close. I didn't have to walk too far. So by Sunday at 4 or 5 o'clock, I was sweeping the floor. And you guys saw the video I put up on Facebook. Walked through it pretty quick. Or unloaded it pretty quick. And really, I'm at a point now. It needs definitely, like the one storage room probably needs a day or two of me going through and really organizing. And then the shelves, as I build the studio, it will empty out of the gear, go into racks in different locations. So that'll clean up. So I think in the end, I'm going to be in really, really great shape. I'm really pleased where I'm at. Of course, when I closed the door yesterday, I knew that I would not be back for a month. And really what's going on here is I drove down here to Columbus this morning. I didn't sleep real well last night. Brain was working. And I think I got about 4 hours, got in here about maybe 8:30, and just cranked all day, grabbed some something quick to eat, come back to do the show, and I'm just kind of like, ugh. So I'm glad to be with you, but just kind of catching you up on everything. So this is kind of going to be my base of operations for the next couple of weeks, in and out, different cities. I'm going to be flying out of Columbus, going to a meeting, coming back, back and forth. So it's going to be a little bit interesting. Probably no show on Thursday, just due to everything that's going on with the schedule, with my schedule. So, but the show will continue as normal. Sometimes it's going to be here. Sometimes it's going to be in a hotel room. So it's, so busy. And then... the schedule right now has me driving back to Detroit on the 18th of July, and then I fly back to Hawaii. I'm there for literally my wife's birthday and a couple of days, and I think I'm back in Michigan by the evening of the 23rd. So, and then it's just... it's things are going to be juggled and then on a kind of a regular schedule for a little while, then down to Orlando for Podcast Movement. I've got a trip to Atlantic City, got a trip to Los Angeles. I have a trip to, where else? Anyway, a bunch of different places. I've talked about it on a previous show, but my brain is scattered to this point. So anyway, at some point, we're going to get live video back. I'm hoping by... basically that last week, well, let me see here, the date that I'm kind of shooting for, if everything goes right, that I have some semblance, and hopefully the wall fixtures will be ready, and maybe somewhere around the end of the week of the 26th or 27th of July, we'll be ready to go live, in the new studio, but I'm not going to hold my breath. It's everything's audio at this point. I'm happy where we're at and the progress. Main thing is all the stuff made it. And I had just one or two little minor thing. A frame got broke. That was my fault for not packing it right. And one small thing, it was, again, two things that were completely my fault for packing, but is, I mean, I haven't had Navy moves go that smooth. So very, very good, a good run on the stuff. So I'm very, very pleased. Okay, so let's get into the stack of stuff. And yeah, I kind of feel like a ping pong ball. Hey, Senate bill would make companies put a price on personal data. And it would help you think about the true cost of free services. Now, many will tell you that the internet giants see your data as their most valuable resource. But politicians now want to put a number on that value. Senators Mark Warner and Josh Haley are introducing the Designing Accounting Safeguards to Help Broaden Oversight and Regulations on Data Act. Now, that's a mouthful. Conveniently called Dashboard Act. A bill that would require companies with 100 million or more monthly users to not only disclose the type of data they collect, but to put a monetary value on that data every 90 days. If Facebook and Google think you're worth $5 per month, they would have to say as much. This data would need to be turned over to the Securities and Exchange Commission. And basically, well, the Securities and Exchange Commission are going to have to come up with a way to calculate that value. Now, this bill would make us, as customers, be able to make more informed choices about signing up for these services, both in terms of what we're sharing and how the companies profit from that data. And you might think twice if you find the company expects to sell your information to advertisers, for example. This could theoretically help with lawsuits by assigning a tangible value to the damage done to consumers. Now, California is looking to get a percentage of those earnings back towards consumers. Its governor is very much wanting to regulate the tech. I've got an article, we'll link to that a little in the show, later in the show. DJI denies sending drone data back to China. They say false claims that its drones are used to collect and share data put the entire U.S. drone industry at risk. Now, listen to this. This is the key here, the key statement. Don't worry. Chinese drone maker DJI isn't automatically sending flight data to China. That's what the company told a Senate subcommittee today, adding that it doesn't collect or share any drone data, including flight logs, photo, or videos, without the consent of its users. Without the consent of its users. If you want to use most of their services, you have to consent to it. Now, DJI said that DJI drones do not automatically transmit photos or videos over the internet. The data stays solely on the drone and on the pilot's mobile device. DJI cannot share customers' data it never receives if you've opted not to share it. The letter was signed by DJI Vice President Mario Ribello, Regional Manager for North America. He came in response to what it called incorrect claims that were made during a hearing last week, which it said could put the entire U.S., which he said, or it said, the letter said, could put the entire U.S. drone industry at risk. DJI added security measures include not monetizing selling any customer data, a professional pilot app that can disconnect from all internet connectivity for sensitive flights, embedding passwords and data encryption as products, only ever uploading U.S. drone data to U.S. cloud servers when users choose to share it, and they run a bug bounty program, and they've hired independent security experts to test its drones. They said that this week they will also release its government edition drone, which it said cannot access the internet, only stores data on the device. DJI has been working with the U.S. Interior Department to develop the security system to pass two stages of testing. So DJI is being very proactive here. What say you? Geeknews@gmail.com. Now, Have you ever been sent a calendar invite by someone you don't know? I don't remember getting one, to be honest with you. But if you're sent a calendar invite, even if you don't accept it, it still shows up in your calendar. And apparently, this has been something that's happened for a long time. But now, they're basically publishing some ways to make sure that that doesn't happen, that these rogue listings don't show up in your Google Calendar and clutter up what's already, for most of us, a well-needed lifeline of what's going on. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that, on how to secure your Google Calendar. Huawei CFO's attorney is asking to the United States for its extradition warrant to be withdrawn. In late 2018, remember, Canadian authorities arrested Huawei's CFO Meng Wanzhou in Vancouver at the request of the United States over alleged Iran sanctions violations. Meng's lawyers sent David Lametti, the Canadian Minister of Justice, a written submission to reconsider extradition proceedings on today. They argue that Canada doesn't have the jurisdiction to prosecute her for the alleged actions, which aren't an offense in Canada, since the U.S. is the country with the sanction laws prohibiting business dealings with Iran. They basically are accusing Canada as acting as an international police force. But we have a treaty with Canada. I'm sure that treaty allows for the United States to request people to be held within specific guidelines and the United States to go through extradition proceedings. So we'll see what happens with this. But Meng is the daughter of Huawei CEO Ren Zhengfei, who is currently under house arrest in Canada as she waits extradition. And prior to arrest, she was apparently looking to leave the company. And of course, Huawei's troubles in the U.S. have ramped up when the president banned the company with a national security order. Since then, other top companies such as Facebook and Google also distanced themselves from the Chinese company, resulting in a $30 billion loss in revenue. So link will be up this in the show notes. The lawyers are at play and getting paid. Now, have you ever walked into a shop or home where they've just cooked some fresh baked cookies? Doesn't matter if they're chocolate chip or peanut butter. Doesn't matter what kind of cookies you walk into. When you have fresh baked cookies, they always smell so ono delicious, right? Well, fresh baked cookies will add an aroma of home to the International Space Station. Astronauts can soon enjoy the sweet smells of fresh chocolate chip cookies in orbit. Now, they've teamed up with DoubleTree by Hilton. A whole chain is known for its warm chocolate chip cookies. And they promise that the first space-baked cookies will be produced in the orbiting laboratory in the near future. They put together an oven specifically to cook those cookies. And a prototype space oven built by NanoRacks and Zero-G Kitchen will allow astronauts at the International Space Station to bake cookies in orbit for the first time. Now, the cookies are being tested in a prototype right now. I don't know who's eating them, people on the ground, obviously. But again, no word yet about whether astronauts will get to eat their fresh space-based cookies, but I think pretty hard to stop them from eating them, right? In past years, the space station crews have tasted plants grown on the ISS and even espresso brewed in orbit. But even if the astronauts can't partake of the sweet treat, you can have a space-like cookie in the near future. So to celebrate the launch of the first food items, DoubleTree said hotel guests and cookie lovers alike can stop by any DoubleTree by Hilton in August on August 4th for the National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. So how about that? And of course, the National Day calendar is run by our good friends. So partake. You know what a keylogger is? Keylogger is usually a sign that someone's trying to collect information on what you're doing. And there's lots of ways your keyboard can betray you. The folks over at MeetGooseHub.com explain a keylogger, and it goes through ways to defend yourself against keyloggers. And of course, installing a key log detector or antivirus is often necessary. Sometimes this requires special software. You can add two-factor authentication to your accounts. This will help as well for not allowing people to install stuff. And you also can require additional passwords when you log in and to verify that you are truly who you saying are when you're trying to get on a computer. Because usually, keylogging software is put on the machine by maybe a spouse or a girlfriend, boyfriend, a jealous person, someone that is trying to collect information on you, business espionage. And really, all it takes is the a USB stick going in a computer. And, you know, 60 seconds, you're basically owned. And, that's a part of this. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes. And there's ways that you can reduce the number of times you're entering passwords and so forth by using software that basically fills that password out for you, thus bypassing the actual physical keyboard. Talked a little bit about this earlier in the show, but Governor Newsom saying that California is ready to regulate tech. His data dividend proposal is one where he would make the tech companies pay consumers, which is kind of an interesting move. Of course, California is about to enact or has enacted very strict privacy rules that go into effect later this year, strongest in the United States. So we'll see what happens here in California, where privacy is rising to the highest degree. Netflix alternative Tubi, T-U-B-I, has passed 20 million active users. I'm not familiar with this. I wonder if they've got an app on the Roku. The Netflix alternative is more than 15,000. It's ad-supported, so you have to watch commercials. 15,000 TV shows available on its service. Also has 200 content partners, including Warner Brothers, NBC Universal, MGM, and Lionsgate. Apparently, they've made some astounding strides in the first half of the year. By comparison, Pluto, which is a Tubi competitor, said it had 16 million active users in May. So Tubi is making some huge strides. In January, Tubi said it would spend more than nine figures on content to expand its library. The service is currently available in the U.S. and Canada and can be accessed on devices like the Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Comcast, Xfinity, iOS, and Android. So check it out, Tubi, T-U-B-I. How many times you post in multiple social networks? I do that as part of my social media outreach to customers, and I use tools like Hootsuite to do that. They used to let me post to like eight Twitter accounts at once, but it basically stopped that. I only can post to one, but I can post to Facebook, I can post to Instagram, I can post to three or four at the same time. But there's some other apps out there. If you're looking to expand your social media impact, I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to be able to do just that. Do I have any listeners that live in Toronto? I haven't been to Toronto since, oh my God, how long has it been? Oh man, it's been, wow, probably 40 years since I've been in Toronto. Beautiful city, as I remember. Remember the zoo in Toronto being pretty amazing. Alphabet Sidewalk Labs unveils its high-tech city within a city plan for Toronto. Sidewalk Labs will spend $1.3 billion on the project and hopes of spurning $38 billion in private sector investment by 2040. They have a 1,524-page plan where, again, they're going to build a city within a city, making it very high-tech. And, of course, now this proposal goes to the city and probably some fights, people that don't want it and so forth. But it's a big master plan to build on like 13 acres, So not that much property, but if they're going to spend that much money on 13 acres, that's going to be pretty impressive. So we'll see what happens here. But Toronto citizens, what do you think about this plan by Google, aka Alphabet? Microsoft previews a full Chromium Edge on Windows 7 and Windows 8.1. And they're not sticking to an update schedule when Edge reaches the stable version. So people are still a little bit concerned that this will not get security fixes. And the preview builds for older operating systems were marked as from the Canary Channel, the least polished of the four eventual versions. Microsoft will support two other more reliable channels. Dev and Beta will lead to the production build called Stable. Weird how they name some of this stuff when they're getting ready to go through testing. And of course, when Microsoft first told users it would ditch Edge's homegrown browser technology and replace them with from the Chromium open source project, the company promised to craft editions for not only Windows 10, but also its predecessors as well as Mac OS. Going cross-platform was, as Microsoft contended, one of the benefits of jumping abroad aboard Chromium. The project, whose rendering and JavaScript engines also power Google Chrome, Opera software, and several niche browsers. So, and you watch for that to come for an older operating system. Got to take a shot of H2O here. I got to get me a jug. Something I haven't gotten yet. I need to get a big thermos container. I'm not drinking as much water as I should be. It's not good. Not good. Warner Brothers is hiring its first female CEO in studio history. They hired former BBC executive Anne Sarnoff as its new CEO. Sarnoff will join John Stankey, CEO of Warner Media, as top executives overseeing content as the company heads into a streaming heavy future. She stepped in to replace Kevin Tushajara, who left the company after a Hollywood Reporter story about using his influence to help Charlotte Kirk's acting career after they began a adult relationship. So bringing a lady in to run the run Warner Brothers should be an interesting move. We'll see what happens. AT&T has been sued again. They've been sued over a hidden fee that raised mobile prices after or an above an advertised rate. AT&T has apparently been deceiving customers by adding a $2 monthly fee after they sign up, the suit says. So as the company notes, AT&T prominently advertises particularly flat monthly rates for its post-paid wireless service plans. But after customers sign up, the telco covertly increases the actual price by tacking on the bogus so-called administrative fee. AT&T hides the fee in an easy-to-miss spot in the customer's bill, and it's misleadingly suggests that the administrative fee is akin to a tax or another standard government pass-through fee, when in fact it's simply a way for AT&T to advertise and promise lower rates than it actually charges. AT&T also provides explanation deep, deep, deep within its website, but this is not an adequate disclosure, and a website description serves to further AT&T's deception and scheme by suggesting that the administrative fee is tied to certain costs associated with AT&T providing wireless telephone service, internet charges, and cell site rental charges, the complaint said. Naughty, naughty, naughty. People do read this stuff. Facebook is also failing to kill a class action lawsuit over its data breach. So we know that Facebook last year announced that a data breach allowed hackers to make off with information about 30 million people. A vulnerability in Facebook's code enabled outsiders to access users' digital access tokens, which make it impossible to visit the site without logging in each time. And so this proposed class action lawsuit will move forward after the judge disagreed with the company's contention it should not be held liable for failing to protect users' information. This privacy thing is getting more serious. How many of you are Sam's Club members? I went into a Sam's Club a couple of weeks ago for the first time with my mom and sister. And I'll be honest with you, the Sam Clubs from Hawaii and the Sam Clubs in the mainland are way, way, way stock different. But what was really ironic about this is the Sam's Club I went to was actually kitty corner. I mean, within walking distance of a Walmart. So I just thought that was kind of ironic. And my sister was laughing. She says, yeah, you can get some stuff cheaper at Walmart than you can at Sam's Club, she says. But people come in here not knowing it's cheaper across the street. Well, I really didn't know one way or the other. But Sam's Club is now going to let you order booze. So if you need a bottle or wine, I guess you're going to be able to get alcohol delivered on the same day alongside groceries and other household essentials. So the service is available in 215 stores across 12 states. Doesn't expect the alcohol delivery through Instacart to be expanded more to more Sam's Club locations. Oh, it does. It to be expanded to more Sam's Club locations in the coming months. Probably they got to go through a bunch of regulatory stuff, I would think. FedEx. As a matter of fact, FedEx called me last week, wanted to talk to me about my FedEx shipping. And of course, the only time I ship stuff is to the, in the past, is ship stuff to, you know, Las Vegas. So she wanted to know what I was doing for shipping and et cetera, et cetera. And I just basically like, yeah, like one shipment a year maybe. And so she was working on seeing if she could find me in a deal, and we got disconnected and she never called me back. So, but some people are getting, online sellers are getting enticed by FedEx to get two-day shipping at ground rates. So I guess since they're a little hoopah with Amazon, FedEx is trying to drive up business with e-commerce shippers. Again, enticing online sellers with two-day air shipping at ground rates. So if you do e-commerce, give FedEx a call. Now, you get ready to go to the park. What do you do? You know, you get your snacks already, right? Get some sodas or some beers or whatever you're taking. Some sandwiches, you know, whatever you're going to take to the park to relax. Well, if you don't want to do that, you can use an app, and 7-Eleven can now deliver drinks and snacks to you in the park. So if you miss something, or if you're going to a potluck and someone didn't bring the dishes, paper dishes or plastic dishes, or paper plates, I guess they say, you can go ahead and order that on 7-Eleven. They'll bring it to you, or bring sodas or whatever. So they tell you how far they deliver to. And if you're in Hawaii, there's lots of 7-Elevens. I couldn't tell you the last time I saw a 7-Eleven since I've been back. Apple releases the first iOS 13 and iPadOS 13 public beta. So if you're feeling adventurous, you can download that. Love to see what you think about the podcasting features. If you do, I'm sure we're going to hear some stuff tomorrow on that as people start to grab it and see how it works. Well, there's a little bit of touch-up going in the world. Apple's saying that Spotify pays app tax on less than 1% of paid subscribers. Now, Spotify has got a little bit of PR problem going on because last week it was clawing back from its overpaid royalties from songwriters and publishers. And but they, you know, they basically were complaining they're paying a 30% tax to Apple, and Apple's basically kind of smashed them and said, that's not quite the truth. So it's an interesting article. It shows that Spotify may have, well, cried wolf just a little bit, in my opinion. Over on space.com. There's an announcement. Let me close this player here. There's a contest, and I'm trying to figure out who's running this. A contest that aims to fly openly LGBTQ+ scientists in space. It's called Out Astronaut. No one has flown in space by publicly identifying as LGBTQ+, but this new contest called Out Astronaut hopes to change that. The Out Astronaut Collaboration launched a three-phase contest to find that astronaut with applications for the first phase due by July 15th. Ultimately, the winner of the first phase will receive a full tuition and travel expenses to attend the Advanced Possum Polar Suborbital Science in the Upper Mesosphere Academy in October, at Emory Riddle, my alma mater, Emory Riddle Aeronautical University in Daytona Beach. The Academy provides high school and undergraduate students with a hands-on program for research of the upper atmospheric human flight operations and other technical aspects of spaceflight. And then there's other aspects of the contest. Now, at least one LGBTQ plus person has flown in space. That was Sally Ride, who was also the first American woman to reach orbit. She flew on the space shuttle in 1983 and 1984. Ride's sexual orientation wasn't disclosed until after her death in 2012. Raising a discussion of the challenges that astronauts and other public figures face if they publicly identify as LGBTQ. Aren't we kind of past that in most quarters these days? Samsung adds new camera, smart plug, and light bulb to SmartThings lineup. These new gadgets are coming to the SmartThings platform, and two of them don't need a hub. So a little SmartThings camera. Again, a SmartThings Wi-Fi smart plug. Some of these smart plug, I'm not real keen on. They have challenges. So we'll see how some of these work. But anyway, relatively low priced. How much does a camera cost? It's $90. It works with Google Assistant and Amazon Alexa. The Wi-Fi smart plug is $18. The smart bulb is $9.99. Here's an interesting article, probably the most interesting article of the day. Bill Gates says his greatest mistake ever was Microsoft losing to Android. They failed miserably. They really did. And they really lost the race on this. And he's been reflecting his time at the company. And during a recent interview at Village Global, Gates revealed his greatest mistake ever was Microsoft missing the Android opportunity. He says, in the software world, particularly for platforms, there are winner-take-all markets. So the greatest mistake is whatever mismanagement I engage in that caused Microsoft not to be what Android is. That is, Android is a standard non-Apple phone platform. That was a natural thing for Microsoft to win. It really is winner take all. If you're there with half as many apps or 90% as many apps, you're on the way to complete doom. There's room for exactly one non-Apple operating system, and what's that worth? $400 billion that would be transferred from Company G to Company M. So, wow, it's big. And of course, if you remember, Google acquired Android back in 2005 for $50 million. And my friend Rob Greenlee just gave up his final Windows phone and gave in and got an iPhone. Over in the UK, the Information Commissioner, ICO, has fined Mobile Network EE £100,000 for sending text messages to customers without their consent. So I don't know who this company is, but more people doing stuff, sending texts that they're not supposed to. Uber Gizmo saying the MacBook Air, oops, I switched articles. Uber Gizmo saying the MacBook Air, 13-inch MacBook Pro are all expected to get processor refreshes this fall. So we'll see what transpires there. Should not be a surprise. It's just a general progression of computers. Also, Apple reminds you that you can't pay your taxes with Apple Store gift cards. Oh, you can't pay your tax. Oh, what's this? This is interesting. I didn't know this. Thought they were saying your taxes. Apple gift cards can be used to purchase things digitally, such as apps, music, movies, and more. However, what it is you can't do is pay your taxes. Oh, we suppose that's pretty obvious already, but it seems that due to a recent spat in scam calls, Apple has been forced to remind customers that no, they can't pay their taxes using Apple Store gift cards. Okay, so yes, your federal or your state taxes, you can't do that. For those who are unfamiliar with the scam making its rounds, basically the victim will receive a call via a smooth phone number that looks like it belongs to the IRS. The caller would tell the victim they're from the IRS, that they have unpaid taxes that need to be settled, otherwise they'll be arrested. And of course, they want an Apple Store gift card because the Uncle Sam, the U.S. government, is not capable of collecting money from your bank account through direct transfer or taking a check or taking a Visa over the phone. You know that, right? Ha, ha, ha. Uncle Sam will take your money any way he can. Google has a new curriculum out that teaches kids how to detect disinformation. It includes spotting fake URLs and misleading headlines. So they've launched this Be Internet Awesome curriculum for educators a couple of years ago, and it focuses on teaching children about online safety. This year, the company is adding a new component to its campaign, Media Literacy, developed in partnership with Net Safety Collaborative. The new program includes play-to-learn activities that help educate kids how to spot disinformation, such as fake URLs or misleading headlines. So that's pretty cool. Ever take a screenshot of something and wish you could search the text within it? I've done that a few times. Well, there's six ways to do that. You can either use a Screen Notate, Firefox Screenshot Go, Gyazo, G-Y-A-Z-O, almost sounding like Yoza, G-Y-A-Z-O, Gyazo, Evernote, OneNote. These are all tools that actually do that. Of course, Google Drive as well. So these are all apps that have OCR capability built into them. Optical character recognition, all right? Okay, next thing up. Oh, I want to remind you, got good content over at geeknewscentral.com. Make sure you visit over there on a regular basis. Check out all the great articles that are being written by my team. I did have some email that came in, waiting for it to load. And I got an email here. Oh, first email I got was from Andy. He said, "Hey, Todd, I know you're moving, but what about your house and its solar panels? Have you ever considered setting up a garage to mine Bitcoin?" And I explained to Andy that we have no excess power left with my wife's electric vehicle. But yes, if I was ever to take those 30 panels and have them somewhere, I would have them generating some power for something. Also, next article is, our next email is from, let's see, some Brad. He said, "Hey, Todd, enjoy your podcast each week. I got this email from my ISP Frontier." Brad, I'm so sorry that you have Frontier as an ISP. I've heard nothing but horror stories from them. But he says, "This copy of this email dovetails in your podcast last week. We were talking about broadband in rural towns. I live in a small town, 23,000 plus people. That's what Coldwater is. From the email, it looks like maybe the FCC is doing something to address broadband across the country." And this is the email. He says, "Hey, we're working with the FCC, and Sam knows, to optimize your connection performance and improve your online experience to establish a standard broadband performance test. We need your help to make the test as comprehensive and as accurate as possible. This test covers multiple aspects of an internet connection, from speed of downloading a large file to the quality of video streaming. The project's purpose is to provide more information about your broadband performance so you can get the most out of your service. The FCC is looking for our volunteers to help in the project. If you're interested in participating, please visit the FCC sign-up page here. If selected, you will be sent a new TP-Link router enabled with the SamKnows Performance Measure software. Please know that the software measures only the performance of your internet connection. Your personal information will be strictly protected, and at no time will any personal information be shared or made available without your consent. The complete Privacy State Measuring Broadband America program can be found here." Brad, are you sure? I'm looking at this email. It definitely came from Hello Frontier. It came from Frontier, but they're going to send you a TP-Link router? Interesting. Let me know how this goes, and make sure you call Frontier and say, "Hey, are you the folks behind this, or am I being spoofed to get to, or give, you know, to get a new router that actually is something that's hacked?" So I'd call Frontier and make sure that they actually sent the actual email. I don't trust nobody anymore, Brad. All right, that's going to wrap me up here, folks, for the day. I don't even know what time we're at. This studio's recorder is underneath the table. I can't even see it. But I want to thank you for your ongoing support of the show. It's greatly appreciated. Know we're jumping around a lot. That's life as it is today. And I don't have time to work on video in this studio, But I think the video stuff will come together pretty quickly here in the next month or so. And I hope you guys are cool with ongoing audio. Main thing is I'm keeping the show cranking here the best I can. Again, no show Thursday. It's just going to be too crazy of a travel day back and forth. But I definitely appreciate your ongoing support of the podcast. And for those of you that are insiders out there, really, truly, you're the unsung heroes of the show for your ongoing monthly 2, 4, 6, 10, 12, 15, and $25 donations. I think that's the levels. And of course, the occasional one-time donation as well. Each one of those donations is significantly and greatly appreciated. I do want to thank all of you that are insiders. And if you're not an insider already, consider becoming one at geeknesscentral.com/insider. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to take this stick, this media stick with this recording on it. I'm going to take it back to the hotel room, do the show notes there, and then promptly collapse in my bed. All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Honda. We'll see you next week. Everyone take care. Bye-bye.